What a great day to celebrate, right? I posted this on Facebook last night. I got to tell you, I love birthdays. We celebrated a birthday earlier this week and ate cake together. I love that. I love Christmas. I'm a Christmas guy. I mean, I think Christmas ought to last a whole month. I don't think a day suffices, you know. But there is nothing like Easter. Easter is a celebration that surpasses any other in the entire year. And it's for good reason. I mean, we celebrate a change of history. And we celebrate a change of the potential of how our lives can be led and used by God. And so that's why we celebrate a risen Savior today. And the challenge that I face in preparing to share with you today is, for some reason, we get really excited about Easter. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am hyped up. And I've had a few of those candy eggs, so that may be part of it. But I think a bigger part of it is we just get it on Easter, don't we? We understand that Jesus really did live, Jesus really did die, and Jesus really did rise from the grave. And according to Scripture, everything changes because of that. Our lives should never be the same again. But there's something strange that happens after today for most of us. For most of us, we go about our normal way of living. And Monday's just like any other Monday, and we can't wait for the weekend. And it shouldn't be that way. There should be something about what happened on Easter that should change us and impact the people around us 365 days a year. And I wonder if it's all the challenges and the hardships that we face in life. I mean, here's what I know. I know you have that in common with a lot of people here today. I mean, there's probably something that's bugging you right now. Maybe a bill that has to be paid. Maybe a challenge, you know, that you know is lingering. And you're trying to forget about it. But today is a day that is just kind of, you know what, I'm going to get through today and maybe do a little celebration. Then it's back at it. You know, I've got to get back to it. We got to fix this problem. It's a little bit like a story that I heard when I read in Max Lucado's book, The Eye of the Storm. He described a story about a parakeet named Chippy. Now Chippy was often found to be sitting on his perch in his bird cage, just peacefully and happily singing along, until one day when everything changed and he was sucked in and he was washed up and he was blown over. And the day kind of unfolded like this. All of his problems began when Chippy's owner decided that while she was vacuuming the floor and vacuuming the drapes, that maybe she would use the vacuum to clean out the bottom of his bird cage. So she put the apparatus very carefully in the cage. She's paying careful attention until the phone rings and distracts her. So she looks away and she thinks, oh, I shouldn't do that. Next thing she knows, she looks back and Chippy's gone. So she drops the apparatus and she opens the container. And she takes the vacuum bag and she shakes it out. And there's Chippy, alive but stunned. And he's covered with dirt and debris, so she kind of picks him up, and she runs down the hallway and runs water in the bathroom over him, cold water over him. Obviously, she's not going to use hot and burn him. So all of a sudden, Chippy's just kind of being overwhelmed by the waterfall for a few moments. And when she turns the water off, she looks at Chippy, who's kind of cold and wet and shivering. So she does what any bird-loving person would do. She grabs the hairdryer and begins to blow dry Chippy off, right? They say that Chippy was never the same again after that day. As a matter of fact, when someone came over and asked about Chippy's recovery, the owner said, you know, Chippy doesn't sing so much anymore. He just kind of sits and stares. And you know, I wonder if that doesn't describe us sometimes as well. You know, sometimes we're kind of numb with the things that we're facing, and we don't see any way out, and there's not much hope that we see, and we're wondering how this thing's going to get turned around. Maybe some of you in here today, you know of someone that's just been diagnosed with a really bad disease or a health consequence. Maybe some of you here today, and this is what I know, some of you have recently lost a loved one, and you're going through the pain and the grief that you experience when that's so. Some of you may have heard of some cutbacks where you work. Some of you may have already lost your job. And I want you to know that there are many here today that share that experience. Some of you may have recently gone through a break in your relationship with someone else. It's been severed, or it's not what it's supposed to be, and you're finding it to be really hard to go through day by day because of that severed relationship. And likewise, some of you here today, you may be experiencing some health concerns of your own, and you're not exactly sure how this thing is going to turn out, and you're a little hopeless today. Well, I want you to know this. You are among a number of people who are experiencing those scenarios as well. In fact, the people that you greeted earlier today probably are experiencing at least one, if not many, of the things that I just mentioned to you. We're going through these hardships because we live in a fallen world. And sometimes we ask the question, why does it have to be this way? Why does it have to be so hard? Where is the hope? And it's probably not unlike what the disciples went through after Christ died on the cross. Because imagine this now. They had left everything that they were familiar with. They had given up their jobs. Fishermen laid down their nets. They said goodbye to their boats and their families. A tax collector gave up his fairly lucrative position under the Roman government in order to follow Jesus. And they didn't just follow him. They committed their lives to him. They did life with him. They traveled with him. They ate with him. They learned from him. And they watched him do some incredible miracles. They placed their trust in him. And they believed that he was the answer that they had been looking for. And they depended on him deeply. But now he was gone. He'd been crucified. He was dead. And they believed they would never see him again. Talk about getting doused with a measure of cold reality. Talk about getting sucked into the dungeons of dark despair. Talk about being blown over by unmet and unfulfilled expectations and promises that were made. If you would have asked about the disciples the days that followed the crucifixion and asked about how they were doing, you probably would have heard someone say, you know, they don't sing much anymore. They just kind of sit and stare. And they were in a room together. They had gathered together and they were frustrated and they were fearful and they were in hiding because they didn't know how the general public was going to respond to them now that Jesus was gone, the one who not only guided them but certainly protected them as well. They didn't know what the future held. And then something happened. And everything was changed. Not only would their lives never ever be the same again, but let me tell you something. What happened on that day changed your life forever as well. He rose from the grave. And you can't underestimate the incredible impact that that occasion, that demonstration of the power of God made on his world. In fact, when Christ rose from the grave, all bets were off and everything changed from that day forward. For everyone, quite frankly, whether you place your faith and trust in him or not. Because now Jesus held the reins of the control of the world. He was in control. God handed him that. And he said, now you can guide my people to a relationship with me. That's what he was entrusted with. And you see in Romans 4:25 that Pastor Steve read to us earlier, you see the bridge that brings the crucifixion over to the resurrection with the hope and the faith that we now have established in Jesus Christ. It says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, you can go ahead and put a Y in front of our and make it your. It's your justification that he died for and was raised for. And justified means that you are made to be seen as righteous in the eyes of God. I don't know about you. I don't always feel so righteous. You know, I don't always feel so clean or pure the way that I believe God sees me now because of what Christ did on the cross and because God rose him from the grave. Do you see that? You know, we're not left to our own demise anymore. Our sins can be removed and forgiven. Suddenly, life made a turn, a U-turn. And the one thing that was thought, but quite frankly, was never spoken, was that a dead Savior can't save anybody. You know, no one said that. No one brought that up. Hey, if he was the Savior of the world, he's dead now. They didn't say that, but they thought it. They felt it. And there's evidence that that's what they believed. So turn with me in Mark chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, we're doing this great series called On Your Mark. And we've kind of gone through the chapters of the book of Mark together just to see what brings us to today. What all happened in order of the way that God unfolded it so that we would come to a better understanding today. And as we read today, we're going to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just as an essential part of the gospel as the sacrificial death was on the cross. It's incredibly important, and we don't want to miss why God allowed things to unfold the way that they do. Because the resurrection is proof that Jesus is who he said he was. He is who the Father said he was. He is the Savior of the world. So follow along in the story that we see in Mark chapter 16 as we're introduced to three women who are on their way to the tomb where Jesus had been buried. Starting in Mark 16 verse 1, it says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?'" Now, you know these characters for the most part. We know Mary, right? Jesus' mother. And Mary Magdalene was the one who Jesus forgave, who believed her sins were too great to be forgiven. And some of us identify with her real well because our sins, no matter how great they are forgiven by Christ. It's a great story. If you don't know Mary Magdalene, you need to get to know her better. But likewise, Salome is believed to have been the mother of two of the disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder. So the three of them had bought spices at the end of the Sabbath on Saturday night in order that they can get up early at sunrise on Sunday morning and head to the tomb. And they're carrying these spices, and the plan is to anoint Jesus' body in a proper way. You see, when he died on the cross, the Bible says that it was somewhere around 12 noon that he began to really suffer. 3 hours later, he gasps for his last breath and he dies about 3 o'clock. Things have to be finished up before 6 o'clock. And so Joseph and Nicodemus are the two who actually take Jesus to the grave and they wrap him in the cloth that he's wrapped in. But he wasn't properly anointed with these spices. And so these ladies are on their way to do that, the proper burial technique that was used in that day. But it dawns on them as they're heading in that direction, whoa, you know, we didn't think of, how are we going to move the tombstone? We're not going to be able to get in there. And so they ask that question. And what you're going to see unfold is as they're asking each other that question, and as they arrive there, there are going to be three major surprises that will leave these ladies' lives changed forever. We see it right away in Mark 16, verse 4, where it says, "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away." So plainly, we see surprise number one is the stone had already been moved. And they weren't sure how this was going to happen. We can see through this story that probably they didn't think the three of them could move it. And we don't see any indication that they were aware of the Roman guards who would be there. They did not want this body moved. No one really did. And so what they do is they wrap Jesus up and they put him inside this tomb and they put this a ton and a half to 2-ton stone in front of the entryway so that no one could go in there. And we know that Roman guards are there because we know kind of the rest of the story, but we don't see anywhere that the ladies knew that they would be there. So they're wondering who's going to get the stone out of the way, and, you know, why didn't we bring Peter and John? They could have helped us. And when they get there, it's already open. So the entryway's open, and what do you do when the door's open? You walk through, only to see surprise number two. Mark 16, verse 5 says, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Okay, so you walk into Jesus' tomb, and someone who's not supposed to be there is there, right? First of all, the door is open, not supposed to be. And then you walk in and you see on the right, well, there's someone in a white robe. And in all honesty, Mark doesn't do this passage justice because he says they were alarmed. They weren't just alarmed. Look at what Matthew says happens when they get there. Matthew 28, verses 3 and 4. It says, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Yeah, so apparently these Roman guards were out there, but they weren't going to be of any help because they are frozen stiff in their fear. So now we can go back and go, okay, so they're walking in and they're saying, yikes, hello. Okay, they go in. Whoa! Here's surprise number two. An angel was there to greet them. So this is getting pretty cool, right? I mean, they're showing up to anoint Jesus' body, and this is nothing like what they had expected. There is surprise after surprise. The other gospel accounts talk about some other things happening, but it comes down to the third surprise that they encounter that comes in the form of a message from an angel. Now get this, not only is the angel there, just kind of in this incredible state, right, that the Roman guards are frozen, but he's got something to say to these ladies. Look what he says in verse 6. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. Now, I love this because I would take the word of an angel. But he says, go ahead and check it out yourself. So they go over where Jesus had been laid, and there is a pile of clothing that he had been wrapped in, sitting there as evidence that he's not there anymore. And when you look at the Gospel of John, you see that Jesus had a handkerchief that was placed on his face. John does this. I love this story. He says that the handkerchief is neatly folded and laid there. Jesus folds his clothing before he leaves the tomb. Isn't that cool? Right? So moms, you can just use that on your family. You know, if Jesus can fold his clothing, so can you. So he does this, and he's out of there, right? And so the ladies are like, he's not here. And so the angel's going to give them further instructions. But here's the revelation that they arrive at. Jesus does not stay dead. Right? This is the reality. The angel just said he's alive. He said, hey, check it out. He's not here. This is evidence that he's gone. And if he's alive, that means he's risen. And if he's risen, that means he defeated death. We saw him die. We watched him get beaten. They nailed him. We saw him take his last breath. We saw them carry him down, wrap him up, and put him in that tomb. Come on! He's alive! All bets are off. Life will never be the same. Something major has just happened. The Bible tells us that when they go back, these ladies, and they tell the disciples, first of all, the disciples are like, okay, you know, hopefully you didn't get in the happy juice last night because hard for us to believe. And then the disciples are overjoyed. Right? Remember, they're the ones that are kind of just sitting there staring and not singing. Now they're overjoyed because of the hope that comes with a resurrected Savior. You see, their song had been gone. But now, this is true, there's a real reason to celebrate. Now stop here with me. Here's what I'm going to assume. I'm going to assume that many of you, probably most of you, have been to Easter services before. I'm going to assume that this is not your first Easter service. And you've heard this story over and over and over again. And it's really hard to teach something different on Easter, because this is the day that we not only go to church, but we hear this story. So you may not have heard it spoken from the Gospel according to Mark. You may have heard it from John's Gospel or Matthew's Gospel or Luke's Gospel. But you know this story. And there's very little, if anything, that I've told you so far that you didn't already know. Maybe a little bit of a twist, but everything that I've said to you has been said to you before. Which leads us to this question. Why has it not impacted us in an incredibly changing way? Why, if we've heard this story before, are we not forever changed? And maybe we are, and I do want to give you the benefit of the doubt. I want to believe that maybe I'm talking to a minority here today and not a majority, and that's why you're here today, and I'm glad that you are. But if I am speaking to you, here's what you got to see. This really happened. And because it really happened, it really does change our perspective of the days that God has given us on this earth. Because this changes reality in a great way. And because of that, Jesus says, here's what I need to do. I need to allow you to be free of the burdens and the stresses and the hardships and the challenges, not by taking them away, but by empowering you to overcome them. Do you see? There's a difference. It's not that he goes, you know what, we need to just blaze a trail for you. No more hardship, no more strife. Guess when that happens? That happens in heaven. But today, the Heavenly Father says, because Christ died, and because he rose again, and when you place your faith and trust in him, watch this, I'm going to use you to go through the hardships and to overcome the obstacles. And you're going to live as more than conquerors, a victorious life in Christ Jesus. That's the story of the resurrection. In fact, 1 John 2:2 doesn't say this is just for the disciples. This is just for these three ladies. Here's what it says. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Don't you love this? I mean, this is you. This is for you. This was a gift given for you. Christ defeated death once and for all. You included. Now let's go back to the prior to the resurrection. You see, death even then plagued the world with heaviness and hopelessness, relentlessly tracking down each and every victim, wrestling them down to the murk and the mire of the grave. And death lurks in every shadow, and we're constantly wondering when it's going to place its grip on us. It plays no favorites. It knows no prejudice. Men and women, young and old alike, death impacts in a tremendous way. It plagues every nation and every nationality as it rides the wind, screaming for the body and the soul of man. And at the mere mention of death, mortal men tremble. Because death strikes terror in the hearts of all people. And death is a tool that Satan used against mankind. And he was glad to place Jesus on that cross. And he cheered as Jesus' death was unfolded by the piercing of his hands and his feet. He cheered when Jesus' cross was placed up on that hill and it scraped his back with searing pain. And Jesus finally takes his last gasp of air. And finally, in the midst of Christ's agony, he bowed his head and he died. And the Bible says that all the earth became dark. And the earth trembled, and the birds stopped singing, and people cowered in fear, and they wondered where the light had gone, and why had darkness set in, And why could they not hear or see the Lord any longer? And it was like today, right now. The contrast was so stark and so obvious, they knew something had changed. It looked like there was no more hope. And death had won again, stealing the one who said and promised he would overcome it. And that went on for days. But on the third day, the earth trembled again, and it shook again. And on a day when all of the holiness and the glory of God pierced through that tomb, the message was, He arose again. He's alive. And darkness is dispelled forever. And the hope of eternity is reinstalled to mankind. And a hope of the power and the glory of God shining brightly through the crevices of once contained death is now saying, death will not keep me in. There is a hope that you have for tomorrow. And Revelation 1:18 talks of the cry of Jesus Christ when he says, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades in his hand. That's the victory. Now you may be thinking, but wait a minute, Pastor Rick. There's still death. People still die. 100% of the time. True. But the hope that we have in this life has changed forever. If you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you believe He is who He says He is, and you believe the Scripture are accurate about who it says it is, and you believe that God the Father sent Him to die on the cross for your sins, and you accept the fact that what He did changes your life forever because now He guides you and leads you and lives within you and allows you to know peace and comfort in this fallen world, then you are forever changed. In fact, when Christ died on that cross, a paraphrase of what happened was that God said, "Well done! Well done, son! You finally have completed what I wanted for my people this whole time. Now we can get on with life." Or in Jesus' words, while he hung there on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And so you don't have to fight your battle anymore. You're not on your own. In fact, he's right there with you. And the evidence that is found in this reality is that the tomb is empty. And he's not there because he rose and he defeated death. And now he holds the keys not only to Hades, but to heaven and to life here on earth. This means that no matter what happens in your day-to-day experiences, death will no longer have the final say in your life. The enemy cannot do anything to you that God does not allow him to do. Scripture tells us this. Even in our disobedience, God uses what's intended for bad to become good based upon his power and his authority on this earth. And you no longer have to live with the burden of your sin. We just don't have to carry that anymore. We know we're sinners and that yuckiness has been taken away. His resurrection not only changes your future, folks, it changes your present. Because God sends the Holy Spirit to live within you, to guide you to do the things that He would have you to do. We see that in Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, what Spirit? Look, go back. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's the Spirit that's living in us. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. That's power. Right? That's the if that's the power that brought Jesus from the death, that's the power that can bring us from whatever we're facing into light of Jesus Christ. We can experience resurrection power according to Scripture. That means we live in a world where the extraordinary exists. We can count on extraordinary things happening. He rose from the dead. I can live eternally with Him. I can see that loved one that I recently lost again. If He rose from the dead, maybe the job that I lost will lead me to a job that God would have me to find later. And if until then He promises to provide for me, if He rose from the dead, He keeps His promises. If my relationship has been severed with someone else, if He rose from the dead, if He can do that, can He not mend a relationship through forgiveness that He grants me? And if my health is being challenged right now, no matter what any doctor tells me is going to happen, if He overcame death, He holds my life in the palm of His hands. There's nothing the enemy or sickness can do to me that God doesn't allow to happen in His perfect way and in His perfect timing. That's what it means if He has that kind of authority. When God rolled the stone of death out from the front of the tomb, God continued to roll stones away from His people's lives when they feel like they are facing dead ends today. And the disciples thought they had faced a dead end, and they had no hope. But they are finally facing a brand new beginning because of the resurrection. And so are we, especially Peter. Remember Peter? Peter was the one who denied having ever known Jesus. And I want you to see this. The angel of the Lord tells the ladies, go back and you make sure Peter knows he's inviting. Look at Mark 16, verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. You understand that the angel could have said, just tell the disciples, that includes Peter. He doesn't do that. Some of you here today, you think you've run out of second chances. And you say, you know what, I've drifted too far. I've told God I'm sorry before, and I keep falling into some of the murk and the mire, and so he's not going to keep taking me. I'm here to tell you today, that's why Christ rose, so that you can know new life. And when you make mistakes, you just humbly bow before Him and say, I messed up again, and He says, it's okay. That's why my Savior died on the cross, so that you wouldn't have to carry that burden that you're carrying. And so release yourself from it, and admit that it's only by Christ's blood that you can be shed that burden. And it's only by Christ's resurrection that you can have hope as you face the hardship and the trials that you're facing on a daily basis. Maybe you need a new, fresh start in your life. Maybe you see that the direction that you've been heading isn't really leading to anything good. And maybe today you go, you know what, I've heard it before, and I want to believe it, but it just doesn't seem to happen in a lot of people's lives that I watch or that I talk to. Maybe God chooses to use you as a difference maker in other people's lives today. Wouldn't that be great? What if you're the one that would show others how God strengthens you and guides you and directs you so that you can overcome the things that others think they can't overcome? What if He uses you in that way? When we do baptism here, we do it right up there, and we've had a number of people get baptized recently. And this is what I love about baptism. It is really a symbolic picture of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so when we baptize people after they place their faith in Jesus Christ and place their trust in Him, we say, buried with Him in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in newness of life. And I wish we had these lights every time back there when that happened, because that's the impact that that life can make on this world. That's not just the impact that Christ made. That's the impact that Christ allows us to make as He lives in us and shines His light through us. At Golgotha or Calvary or whatever you want to call that hill, Jesus was crucified, and the fog and the darkness set in. But 3 days later, God's Son burst out of that tomb in the full glory of the Lord, and the light of the world shined on earth from that moment on. And the message is clear: Jesus Christ defeated death and the enemy once and for all. And we can live that way. So if you've been sucked in or washed up or blown over like Chippy, understand this. You can know a song in your heart. Yeah, you can hear a melody in your head that says, it's going to be okay. Because my God loves me enough to send His Son to die on the cross for my sins so that I can experience not only heaven, but victorious life today despite all the hardships and all the trials. And this is what I look forward to. I look forward to those of you who are here today that go, okay, I get it now, Pastor Rick. I understand what you're saying. I can't wait until you get to heaven. And God says, well done to you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you placed your faith and trust in Him, and He did things through your life you didn't even know He was doing to impact the lives of others. Don't leave here today unchanged. Whether you've accepted Christ as your Savior in the past or not, please don't leave here unchanged. My prayer for you this whole week is that tomorrow will be as much of a celebration and as glorious as I hope today was for you as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the promise that was fulfilled through the death and the resurrection of your Son. And now, Father, I just pray that you'll stir in our hearts so that we can come to a conclusion, God, about what we believe about you and what we believe our lives can mean by giving ourselves to you. And I ask, God, that you'll move in our hearts and our minds right now as we close these services out. And may you be glorified by the decisions that we make. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Before we sing this last song, would you do me a favor? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. That's why I ask you to do that. People go, yeah, this is, you know, kind of weird. I close my eyes and bow my head. What's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen to you, trust me. And we're not going to embarrass you either. So would you do that? I don't want to embarrass anybody. If you know without a shadow of a doubt, because you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that when you die, you know that you'll spend eternity in heaven with Him. We just raise your hand. Just raise your hand acknowledging that. Again, heads bowed, eyes closed. Great. That is awesome to see. I love seeing that. Now, if you don't, you can put your hands down. Again, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you don't have that reassurance, and honestly, as you came today and you had kind of a stirring, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I qualify. I don't know if I die, if I'll go to heaven. I hope so, but I don't know. And if you want to know today, I'm not going to make you do anything but listen to me and then decide what you want to do. I would love to pray with you. And I'm going to pray out loud. I'm not going to move you. And there's nothing, again, that's going to embarrass you. I'll be very careful about that. There's no reason for that. So if you would like to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, where you are with no one seeing you and not calling you out right now, and you would like for me to pray for you, would you raise your hand right now? Just raise your hand. See that hand? Thank you. Anybody else here? Just raise your hand. I'm going to slowly go across the room. Put your hand way up in the air. No one's looking around. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand up there. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Hands up. Thank you. See that hand? I see that hand. Thank you. Hands up now. If I did not see your hand, God did. All right. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you have already accepted Christ as your Savior, more than likely you said a prayer. And I don't believe that God ever tires of hearing His children say that He loves Him. And so I'm going to ask you to join those who have never prayed that prayer to pray this prayer aloud with me. Let me tell you what we're going to say so that you don't do it just out of obedience to me. You do it out of the belief that the Holy Spirit is giving you right now. We're going to admit to God that we're sinners. And we're going to tell Him that we believe that God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And we're going to tell Him that we want Him to be our Savior and our Lord, to come into our lives and to take control. And then we're going to thank Him for the power that He gives us to live that life and for the hope that we have for eternity. Now, if you've prayed that prayer before, I'm going to ask you to just verbally aloud repeat this with me so that no one's embarrassed in here. For those of you who have never prayed that prayer, again, heads bowed, eyes closed, pray this prayer in responsiveness to what I pray. I want you to join me by saying, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent your Son to die on the cross for my sins. And I admit to you today, I am a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I ask you to come into my heart and come into my life and guide me from this day forward. And I thank you for the power to live today and the hope of heaven for tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Will you join me in celebrating with those who prayed that prayer for the first time today? Yeah. Well done. Well done. We're going to close out today with a final song, but we also do a ministry time here. And for those of you that have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, I would love to know. If you have time, if you could stop today and let me know, that'd be great. Here are the things that I want to do. I want to give you a Bible. It's God's instruction manual for life. It's a powerful tool, and I want to give that to you. Likewise, I want to talk to you about baptism. It's a public proclamation of something that just happened inside of you. God's honored by that. The Bible says that's the next thing that we do. And then the last thing is I want to talk to you about how you can study God's Word and give you a piece of information where you can kind of do a daily Bible study on your own so that you can grow in understanding the Lord. And I'd love to talk to you about church as well. So just let us know either today or contacting the church. We'd be honored to give those things to you. Likewise, if you're going through a hardship right now, maybe some of you just want someone to pray for you. We would be honored to do that. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a relationship problem. We'd love to do that. We've got deacons here that will be glad to pray for you. Likewise, it's not unusual for people to come down to this altar and bow before the Lord and offer their prayers up for Him as well. So we would be honored to do that for you today as we sing this closing song together. So would you stand with me now? And as we close out, as the Holy Spirit leads you, will you respond in obedience to Him?